So we'll go ahead and we will restart so I don't fall. You can kind of ladies.
Kim, can I volunteer you first?
Or direct the vocals? Sure. Terrible.
Thank you for, as D'Angelo's just said in our group, the rapid fire feedback. I know we had a productive few minutes in our group. I hope the other groups did too. Kim's going to do her report back first from that group.
Okay. We had a great discussion, and there was a lot of alignment among the group. It was very clear that the group was not interested in the business as usual approach, and there was some expressed preference for number one. Others were expressing a preference for a combination of one and two. And then there was a discussion around public service needs. We know there'll be concerns about traffic and additional work needing to be done in that area, and the tension with parking needs, being just aware of that as something to be considered as the group navigates the scenario ideas. There was also a great appreciation for density as the future of Brooklyn Park by the group, and a desire to maximize the land that's left, and the having something special here, making a destination, something that Brooklyn Park can be proud of. Anything I missed from our team?
Good job. Thank you.
I can't top that summary of three. So I think Brianne should probably go next.
Yeah, come on, make us look better
than a lot of similar themes, which is very good news, I think. I'm just going to summarize the last question, which was, what do we have points of consensus on? Which was that one of the scenarios should include more retail, so there was definitely desire to provide a shopping destination, which again is the next segue, I guess. Destination was very important as a word that came up multiple times, not just for shopping, but also for public amenity use. And then how important the value of the green space and other amenities would be to making this a successful place. We need to be conscious of what's happening at Oak Grove relative to what's happening here. That's the TOD. And so are we going to have a distinct place here, or are we going to have something that supports it and is similar to that here? And then there was general consensus that the highest scenario had too much housing, and then the associated parking. There was also a comment about a scenario in the middle of two and three, that maybe we could find some opportunities for homeownership through the lower density housing as a portion. But I don't know if there's consensus on that. That was just a comment that came up. Am I missing anything that kind of felt like the consensus of the group?
I think that summed it up really well.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Brianne. So I'll summarize. We had a very good discussion in our group, wide-ranging. I would say that there were a lot of differing opinions on the idea of introducing as much density as we saw in scenario in the town center high-density scenario. But there was a lot through that conversation that we did agree on, and I think I'll frame that through the question of what our group would like to see focused on in the public engagement that we're going to be doing on Monday. I think this represents our group consensus. So we want to make sure we're really highlighting for community members who are participating what the goal of this work is, the main goal about the tax base, but also, really importantly, tying that to the broader BP 2025 goals. We're going to get more than just tax base out of this. We'll get a lot of other things too, no matter what happens there. And the more tax base we have, the more funding we'll have as a city to achieve the goals in BP 2025. Somebody had a really good, Maggie, can I put you on the spot, Commissioner Bohr? You had a good statement about the BP they want. I didn't capture exactly what it was. Do you remember what you said?
The Brooklyn Park that we want?
Yeah.
People that live here like the outdoors, they like the amenities of it, and they want it to be a destination. Is that what I said?
Right. Yeah. You said more, but that was good. Yeah.
I said a lot in there, so that's what I started.
Yeah. Okay, help people understand the tax base gap with other cities, which is what is driving this conversation. Really importantly, talking about the relationship between population density and the amenities that people want when it comes to restaurants or parks and things that the mayor's talking about. And then just reiterating that these are, as we've talked about already, these are models to think through the options, not specific development proposals. So we can pick and choose the things we like from them to guide development in the future. Anything from our group that I missed that we should highlight?
I think we talked about quality, not necessarily just quantity.
Yes. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Okay. So let's take just a few minutes before we wrap up and talk as a larger group. What are some of the, and anybody can chime in on this, what are some of the themes that you're hearing across all the three
Nobody wants business as usual.
Nobody wants business as usual.
And we want to become a destination place. Because we bought here, we live here. We need to be proud to where we live at. To live, work, play, raise a family, worship, educate ourselves here in this particular community. All those benefits that provide us that we look for when we purchase those. I think we need to make sure we build upon those and those things are included. And more importantly, the input of our community, that we stay in line with what we want to have for our city, for everybody that's involved, right? Soliciting their inputs.
So Director Bogush, that's the language. So I'll just kind of call on people and run it so that we can stay on track.
Please.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh no, what I want to say, at least we can keep our money in Brooklyn Park.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us still go to restaurants all around the other part of the city. But when it comes to Brooklyn Park here, we just come to sleep. I mean, that's the truth, yeah. So if we have places where people can come to, it would be a good thing instead of us going to other places that will come. I mean, the good people now to bring their money to spend it here, it would be a good thing, yeah.
One thing that we discussed is that we are being part of the designation of Medical Alley, and that's important, and that we should really honor that and play to that. And we talked to a little bit, well, you listened patiently as I rambled on about MOB. We do have people looking to build medical office buildings around here, so that's something to consider as well.
I think one of the big things that I've heard is that, you know, status quo just isn't going to do it, or business as usual is generally not what people are interested in. We know we have to kind of evolve and meet some of the newer needs of the city. And I think there also seems to be an appetite to finally say, we've been talking about restaurants for the last 20 years. How do we find a way to actually get the restaurants that we want and deal with some of the real realities of what it looks like to get those restaurants? And I don't think we 100% know that, but I do know that as part of this process, people are going to want some restaurants. So we need to just have a really good understanding of how we can do that, right? And I know there's some realities there that haven't been discussed enough, but I think those are some of the high level things that I had picked up from our group at least when we came together and earlier. There's also a concern about if we're going to do it. I saw you. The density. If we're going to do it, let's get it right. Let's make sure we have the infrastructure there to get it right.
I think the decision that we make today should be aspirational. Just to piggyback off the previous comment, we're planning for who we're trying to become, not who we are today. That's the status quo, right? So what decision do we need to make today that will allow us to grow up in this community? And what I mean is density, but also retail and the destinations to attract other folks into this amazing city that I am proud to call my home for the last 20 plus years.
All right.
I don't want to go to West End. I don't want to go to Maple Grove. I don't want to go. I want to stay right here and keep my money right here.
Mm-hmm. Cheers. Oops.
You just had a thought off the
door. So,
sorry.
Okay, you then. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Go ahead.
Off of your medical alley thing, rather than your 7 or 8 apartment buildings, why don't we make a medical arts building, you know, 5 stories high, all the doctors or whatever big day surgery like we have on down the road there. Just maybe look for a developer to do a medical arts building, and that would bring people in. And on the way out, they see all these nice restaurants and what Brooklyn Park really is. So, just a different approach to this rather than all the parks.
I think that's well said, Commissioner. I share that. You know, one thing we need to look into is we're looking into 610 right now, but we need to look into 610 in relation to the totality of the city and how it feeds into other city activities. And you know, a couple of things that's mentioned is destination and amenities that's mentioned, and then economic activity in the city. If we're looking into the tax base, that comes from really where we look into the mix of things that bring economic activity here, attract others, also retain economic transactions here in the city. And that requires not only looking into 610, but what's happening all over the city. You know, the center, west, east, you know, all over the city. So if we look into that, that would be good.
So to piggyback on that, one of the things that we talked about in our group is, and we didn't bring it up here, is that Brooklyn Boulevard corridor, right? The council was increasingly noticing that there's some low-hanging fruit there in terms of developing, maybe even some potential for redevelopment, right? So what I like to remind people is that, you know, Bloomington, fifth largest, we're sixth largest, $3 billion gap in commercial development. Shouldn't be there, right? I don't care how close they are to the airport. $3 billion gap. $2 billion gap between us and Maple Grove. But we don't have to fixing all of that gap within just the area that we've talked about today. Some of that can be around the Brooklyn Boulevard corridor. And then, you know, not to pick on anybody, but there's, you know, you have the golf course right across from the golf course. Does anybody remember what's right across from the golf course? We remember, but
we talked about it.
We don't know. So there are some opportunities along 85th. We can begin to say, well, maybe there's some opportunities to create something that fits more along with a first-rate golf course, right? So we don't have to fit all of that in this area, but I do think we got to get a sizable portion of it as well. So I think just keep that in mind. I mean, we need to keep that in mind as well as we talk about this larger picture that we're putting in place. So rather than simplify things, I think I complicated it, but it is what it is, right? Right. Are there any other comments? Or?
I would just add that when you're talking about a medical space, you know, I think most things are going ambulatory in medicine. Hospitals are not very viable at this point in life in this. So it's thinking of that and how many people that does draw in. And the other thing I would add is entertainment. So there's no movie theater, there's no amphitheater, you know, and so people here like to go outside and do things. And so I know we have winter, but we've got the golf courses, but we don't have a lot of other entertainment other than, maybe I'm missing something. So, you know, like you said, a destination to come and stay is very important, but we really do want to be awesome.
So one thing, and I don't want to get too off topic, is there's the area across from North Hennepin that was going to be, what was that going to be called?
CETA.
CETA.
Center for Innovation.
Yeah, right. It was going to be center, but that fell
through. By the library?
Right. By the library, right? There may be an opportunity, right? And this is not something we need to jump into detail here, but in terms of what you're talking about, one of the things we have is got North Hennepin, got a ton of cultural diversity, right? what can we do in terms of that diversity? When I say diversity, it's not just new immigrant populations, right? There's folks who've been here 60, 70, 80 years, right? But is there a way that we can work with the college or something to put something there that maybe there is a theater, maybe there's an outdoor portion or something? So there's room for creativity. I think it's just getting the right people at the table. But again, it doesn't have to all fit in this spot up here. I think it's, and that's why this is why we did the moratorium, right? Because there's a lot of factors that are in place here. But I think if we think along those lines, there's partners here that maybe we haven't leveraged to the best of our capacity as a city that could give us some of the infrastructure. Because I want the entertainment too, the entertainment that we can have in Brookwood Park.
Yeah, I see. When we went on the ride the other time, the guy, he's parking back, I didn't write it, it was something that he said, going for what you, instead of waiting for the businesses to contact the city making plan on what kind of business they want,
yes,
and engage these people. I think you remember saying that on the trip, when we were on the trip in St. Louis Park, and I thought it was a very good thing, instead of sitting back and somebody come, oh yeah, I want to open a retail store. No. Let's look for what we think we want to bring to the city. Mm-hmm. And we put our minds together and say, okay, this is the kind of business we want here. This is what we think can, uplift the city, instead of, somebody just suggesting to build another retail store or Target or Walmart. Right. Or,
agreed.
Agreed.
All right.
So, unless there are any more comments or suggestions, I think it's a good time to transition to our celebrity.
Just because some of the people are in the room that know them, but when I think of this particular area or other areas like Brooklyn Boulevard, working with a juxtaposition or something like that with youth and arts engagement, because we have a need for that in that Center for the Innovation in Arts was supposed to have performing arts, not necessarily a ton of visual, but ways for people to express themselves, get off the streets, get engaged in things. You know, Zane was doing a great job with some of that, but finding partners like that, that also then some of these kids can sell their art or perform for pay and see that there's lots of ways to make a living.
So, Commissioner Lee.
So, what about, because if we're building higher story buildings, and you just talked about winters, someone had to mention winters, made me think of skyways. Is that something that we need to consider then in terms of like building some kind of a loop, skyway loop in that area?
I mean, I think it depends on the nature of the development. If you do end up with like lots of medical on multiple sites, that's something that would make sense, I would think, to have those above ground pedestrian connections. When you're talking about housing,
Yes, it depends on where the retail's at, right? Where the other buildings are at, because then I'd want them to be accessible, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, I don't want to go out in the cold, walk down a couple blocks, right, to the store. If we could put in a skyway system, a little loop, that way they can just stay indoors and go and come back.
I think, there's a lot of debate in the world planning about skyways and
whatnot. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, go to
St. Paul.
Minneapolis. It's like a ghost town, sorry.
Yeah.
Ghost town,
yeah.
Minneapolis skyways.
But there's some other issues they're struggling with.
And the worry that it can also detract from the pedestrian environment high up the ground.
Right. Commissioner Morrison.
One thing we talked about.
So, I'm sorry, Commissioner Morrison, and then, but he was actually in the middle of stuff.
I wasn't looking.
Nope.
I just want to remind us to get the slides up so we can have that information, and hopefully contained in the slides will be phase two. Just incorporated in there so we can see what that looks like as well.
Thanks.
Okay. On all these plans, we got retail down, I don't even know the name of that street, but we got McDonald's on the corner. Can we somehow ask them to relocate? To have, you know, if you're going to put retail down that road, it should be a nice, you know, go back to Maple Grove. You don't go down Main Street. You got businesses on both sides. You don't have a McDonald's right in the middle. So, yeah, you know, even Burger King across the street, but that's not as poignant as McDonald's there.
Yeah, I mean, Commissioner, you're pointing out something that we've talked a lot about, that, you know, if you're trying to establish like a walkable Main Street, that does stick out, right? North End there. Yeah. You know, for those who were on the tour, we saw that in Bloomington.
Yeah.
In the South County, at the Pan American area, where
yep.
there were a couple of drive-throughs. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of pretty analogous to this situation, kind of at the end there. Can we ask them to move? I guess we can ask. That would be a great
thing.
But again, you know, this is also, it's a long-term vision. So, you know, the development can happen in other places, and that over time, you know, that's a pretty low-value building from a pure real estate standpoint. It doesn't have to be there forever.
So I have a seven-year-old who will fight you. she likes McDonald's. So.
I just want to emphasize the point Commissioner Phillip raised about two things, about, you know, the combination of businesses we attract and how we become intentional rather than market-driven, you know, market bringing to us. Rather, we go into the market and we need such kind of combinations. I think if we think of what are the reasons that takes us outside of Brooklyn Park to shop, let's say in Maple Grove, the combination of necessities, the combination of restaurants, the combination of, you know, amenities that are there, and how we can bring a high-level chain, one or two, that attract people, and people come for that, but shop other places too. And they get out. If you go to Olive Garden in Maple Grove, you may get out of there and maybe go to, you know, shopping somewhere. So we need to think of those combinations, not only, oh, this is market-driven and market is bringing to us and then, you know, we can't do anything. No, we have to go further a little bit. If that is incorporated in this plan, that would be great.
So, Director...
So yeah, we've got just a few closing, some little bit of closing information. So,
Mr. Sam King.
All right, closing this out. Oh my God, honor. All right. Well, hello everyone. My name is Sam King. I am NAO Partners Community Engagement Specialist. And today, I'm just going to be talking about our digital and in-person engagement strategies that I've created, that we've created. So first of all, we want to be able to give out a survey to folks, but I feel like in a lot of cases we'll throw out a survey and community members like might not know all the terminologies or might not know what they're voting for, so just kind of pick something. So my idea here was to create a YouTube video where our lovely Cam here will do a voiceover kind of explaining the, you know, scenarios in lay people's terms, just so we're not talking about tax bases and all this stuff and people are like, okay, but what am I getting? What's coming here, right? So they can be educated before they do the survey. So that was the philosophy there. Then I want to talk about our engagement event next Monday.
Oh my gosh, it's Monday already.
I've been planning this for like a month or in some change. So it's crazy that it's around the corner already. So we'll be at the Brooklyn Park Library in the Shingle Creek Conference Room all day. Literally all day. You can't miss us. So we'll essentially be having a bunch of community members come through so that we can engage them, talk to them about the scenarios. We'll have presentations at noon and at 6 o'clock. So numerous times for people to come, whether it's in the lunch hour or right after work. So numerous times for people to get the information. Hopefully some of y'all can stop by, talk to the constituents and folks. But yeah, we'll be there. All day.
So, how are we getting this information out to the public about this meeting?
So it's going through. It's going out. It's already starting to go out. It'll keep going out. It's gone out through all the usual channels. All the gov delivery sign-ups, the city's social media. It's all being plastered out there. Yep.
So quick question is, are you going to be putting these three scenarios in front of folks, or are you just going to generally be getting input?
Three scenarios?
Yeah. Okay. So I may show up to the 12 and the 6 o'clock. I would say, and you guys are pros, have done this before, make it very clear, these are thinking models. These are options. Okay. These are, I don't even know if you want to use scenarios, right? just because there are, Brooklyn Park is going through some changes, right? So I would just say, help people understand these are models for people to think and work from, so that they understand the different factors and how they interact, right? But if you say scenarios, people are going to think, oh, I can pick one. I really don't want this one, right? And they will go to war with that publicly. You know, I don't need that, right? So, and council doesn't need that. So make it very clear. And I may come and just say a few words and just say, hey, these are models for people to understand the factors and think through. Ask based on these models. Don't ask based on a scenario that we're going to pick. We're deciding that as a council, right? But I would help people understand from that angle. You know, that takes a lot of the edge off of it for people. Because understandably, some of this looks very different than what their Brooklyn Park is, right? So,
yeah, 100%. And I think too, what was I gonna say? There's like lost left my head just now. My apologies. That's okay. I'll bring it back. I'm gonna comment something.
Okay. Was there anything else? Was that it?
I just wanna follow up on the outreach strategy to make sure that we're not just communicating digital forums, but we're also doing some kind of flyer and engaging people who may not be doing digital
routes. Commissioner Fraser, are you talking about in terms of getting the word out for the meeting? Okay, yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Could you say more about engagement? I mean, the outreach component of it. I just want to hear, other than just that, you know, on social media, what other things the city is doing to reach out to the people in that area, whether it's linguistically or
whether it's what
culturally or linguistically, you know, what did, you know, how are you reaching out?
So in terms of linguistically, you know, it's anytime we have materials out, there's an opportunity for folks to get translated versions of that. I don't think we've had any requests for that yet, but that's something we'd be happy to do, get those requests. I like the suggestion of doing some flyering. We haven't done that yet, but we can do that for sure. Yeah. I agree, electronic, you know, it gets a high percentage of people, but it doesn't get everybody. There were, I want to make sure we, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
If there isn't more on the, is there so has an engagement? I wanted to make sure we got to Councilmember Morrison's question about the phase two work.
Can I suggest one thing, that if you reforward the message to this group in the morning, and if you can all recruit your networks, I mean, people come when they're invited personally, so if you have an opportunity to invite people to participate, that's more likely to get them to show up, so I just encourage you to do that.
So in terms of the survey, how long will that be?
How long will the survey be?
Yeah.
I think it's like 9 questions.
And when will it start and end? What's the timeline for it?
So we're going to start it on the 22nd.
Oh, okay.
And then it'll last until the 6th of July.
And this will be online?
It'll be like correct.
Correct. More or something like that.
Yeah. And then NAIA will put together a summary of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of their contract, is to summarize all the engagement so that we have that in front of us when considering how we're going to move forward.
On phase two, I just had a strong suggestion during the small group, and I'm going to bring it up again, that we have a retail-focused scenario, because this is all housing except for the do-nothing one. And Brooklyn Park has a problem with multifamily housing. I mean, historically, we've just struggled accepting it, and even if it is the direction we're going, I think having a little bit more of a retail look, and again, the history of that area, people thought it was going to be a retail hub. Supposed to be a giant grocery store, so coming in and showing people, here's some massive housing, I have a feeling it could really come back to haunt us if we don't consider showing people a little bit more, a mixture of what their expectations were.
Can
can I just add just a little bit to Commission? That was the mindset of the residents of St. Louis Park before they seen it done. I asked that question. They was really concerned about that before they built it, but and the people that was in close proximity of that. But then I asked the question, now what do they say? They say they're here all day long, you know. So they embrace it now that it's here. They have pushback in the beginning, but then once it became live and in living color, they support it, you know, with open arms. They embrace it now. So just to add to that, yeah.
So now, Director, did you have a
so Councilman Morrison asked about what's the work that's left to do. Can I ask you to summarize that? Absolutely. So this next phase, which is the final phase of the fiscal feasibility analysis we're doing, as we spoke about before, what we've done to date for the layout of where the streets are, where the buildings are, more or less the footprint, parking parks. This next component is one, the analysis for if there's adequate of different types of district-wide infrastructure systems, what are the costs of those systems? How does that contribute to overall value on the per acreage basis across the site, and running that across probably just new scenario one and two, because business as usual is not going to do that. And then the cost of the different, that's why we're trying to pull the service standards. So being able to break out the costs for road construction and maintenance, utilities, sewer, water, electricity, gas, trash recycling, there we go. All those service standard costs. On the infrastructure side, they're really municipal costs you have to take on. Breaking all those figures out across the two development scenarios. And so having a point of analysis for like business as usual costs for all these infrastructure, infrastructure systems that are required for modern day living. So to have a point of comparison in terms of having a district-wide system that has a way lower greenhouse gas emissions footprint or way lower cost per square footage, cost for someone leasing or renting a home or commercial space to build on top of these, as well as the modeling on the streetscaping components and landscaping components across the site. That's what we got next. Mm-hmm. We got to have that wrap. June 30 is the date we have, so it's coming quick.
So we will be getting that information in front of you when it's ready, and also by the end of July, according to that original scope that the council approved in April, by the end of July, we need to have a pretty good idea of what direction we're going with all this. We don't need to have all the details figured out, but we need to have a certain level of detail figured out so that we can submit to the Met Council how our comprehensive plan is going to change as a result of this, and then we'll have a few more months into the fall to the end, towards the end of the moratorium to develop the zoning details so that the council can get that into place in time for the expiration of the moratorium on November 5th.
So I know Commissioner...
I got just a question. We get all this done, we get it planned, and we change the zoning and everything. What is the plan to get somebody to come in and build this? If we're going to build this field of dreams, will they come?
If you zone it, they will come?
If you zone it, they will come, right, yeah. That's a good question. It's a big question. It's, that's not all charted out right now. That gets to what D'Angelo was talking about earlier.
Somebody's looking at that?
Yes, we are, yes. giving developers the confidence to build requires showing them that the public is there with the investments necessary to make it happen. So, yes, that we are talking about that.
I just thank you for such a comprehensive presentation. Thank you for the work, and then I know Director Gush and then Director Bergman, I know you guys have been working on it along with our staff. I know it was kind of a quick turn. We came in here as a city council, we kind of put this in place, and you guys are
trying to figure out a process to manage all of this. So I appreciate you doing that. To our planning commissioners, thank you. I think you added quite a bit of thought to this process. So I appreciate. I actually like this setup quite a bit. I think it adds a lot. So where we can do these, I think we will try to continue doing these because I think it brings a more comprehensive look at things, right? We don't catch everything as a council, which is why we have a planning commission to help us with that. So I very much appreciate that. The other thing I want to say is, you know, just keep in mind that as we do this, and this is for, for residents, but also a lot for staff, right? As we go down this and we go into these second phases, right? The second phase, if we can just make sure that we're keeping in mind that there's these other areas that we will either be developing or redeveloping. And I always have in my mind that $2 to $3 billion gap, right? So how are we hitting that gap? In what specific areas are we hitting that gap, right? So keeping this larger picture in mind so we know how we're addressing it will help us make the right decision here. But again, I want to thank everybody for coming here and just help. And the last thing I say is, this is incredibly important because in many ways we're going to be right-sizing the city and getting the infrastructure correct. Not for the city as it is today, but I think a couple people said it, 20, 30, 40 years from now, there's real infrastructure that we have to build. So when you look at some of those homes and you see the 8 cars out front, and you say, why do they have those 8 cars and there's 2 to 3 families in there? Some of those families are saying, when something like this is built or whatever we build, they're going to be moving into that, right? And now it's only 6 cars instead of the 8 or 5 or whatever, right? So we're building the infrastructure for the future. This is an incredibly important process. Appreciate your input. And then I'm excited to see where this goes. So thank you. All right, and meeting is adjourned.
One thing I would say is